COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
I'm sorry. I'm not coming across well at all here.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 1, Pilot. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Back to where it all began. Hello, Tara.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Oh, boy. So before we get into gestures, all this again, an announcement about upcoming Again With This content. Episode 174 moves us into the Dawson's Creek era.
Woo!
It drops January 5th, and we will be watching Joshua Jackson in an episode of The Outer Limits, which really stayed gold, Pony Boys. So You should also check it out. We'll link to the episode in the show notes. But once again, that drops January 5th. We are expanding our catchment area. It's all very exciting. The Music of the Spheres, Season 3, Episode 15 or 14. You'll find it.
Yeah, you will find it and you should find it because I loved it. And yes, Sarah is right. We are expanding our catchment area, as you may have seen if you follow us on Instagram, which you should, and Again With This podcast. A whole big stack of magazines from eBay started arriving with Dawson's Creek stars on their various covers. So those are all future potential Again With This topics. And I know at least one person on the Discord is very excited for scans and visual aids of all of those. And so are we. All right, Dawson's Creek. Should we tell the origin story? I suppose there are people who are listening that don't know. So why don't you tell
sure.
it? Go ahead.
Okay. We met back in the 90s on Inquisitor Mediarama. It featured 90210 wrap-ups. And we talked about all sorts of things on those online bulletin boards. And then we were both big My So-Called Life fans. And when Dawson's Creek premiered, it seemed like that was going to be the new My So-Called Life. It wanted to be. It tried real hard. It was not. And pretty soon we were filling entire multiple screens and threads with bitching about Dawson's Creek. And someone was like, you should start your own wrap-up site for
Hint.
It, possibly as a compliment, but probably so we would just shut the fuck up and leave the thread to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the case, that's what we did. That was the formation of DawsonsWrap.com.
Yes.
Which then expanded and evolved to become Mighty Big TV, which became Television Without Pity, et cetera, and so on. What was that, 1998?
Yeah, it was. We launched it around the time of the Season 2 premiere of Dawson's Creek. Oh, boy. I mean, I certainly watched these episodes. I think I might have caught up later, like when they reran, because this was around the time when we were moving from Los Angeles to Toronto, and I don't know if it was airing in Canada, like simultaneously with the U.S. They didn't have WB affiliates then yet, I believe. It's sort of like when we, on our sister podcast, Listen to Sassy, where like I'll arrive at a page and be like, wow, I read this a lot in its era. Like there are moments of this episode where I was like, oh God, it's like it's tattooed on my brain. And then other parts of it are like completely all just fell out. So this is going to be a real fun journey rediscovering this show that I certainly have not revisited since it was on. But yeah, we traded off weeks recapping this show and ER. And then at a certain point, I was like, I don't want to watch the show anymore. And you were like, great. I don't want to watch. I don't want to write about ER anymore either. And so we both just took on one show at a time. And I think once I stopped writing about this, I'd stop watching it too. So like the Busy Phillips years, did not watch. Those are all going to be brand new to me. I think I was away until the series finale, truly.
I probably was too. I think I lasted another season passed when you stopped and then mm-hmm. handed it off to the great Jessica Morgan. So I'm familiar with some of these plots, but I won't have seen the episodes. So it's going to be a journey for everybody.
It will. It will. Let's embark on this journey with our B plot. Mm. And I was not sure how much these plots would be siloed, if it would be as like regimented as Starverse shows are. And it's like there's a little more loosey-goosiness, but we'll see how long we can do it this way.
Right.
Our B plot is Pacey's new crush has a big secret. It's the big number on her driver's license. Spoiler. Mm-hmm. Dawson and Pacey are working at the video store behind a poster for I Know What You Did Last Summer, ha ha ha, the movie that Kevin Williamson, who created this show, had just written, rah, 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 when the definitely unneeded third staffer at this store, Nellie Olson, asks where to reshelve Forrest Gump, clip two.
How many times are you going to ask that?
It goes in the drama section.
Thank you, Dawson.
Can you say wet, Brian?
I'm sorry, what did you say? Did you toss a negative, disparaging remark my way? Because if you did, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'd like to remind you who you are.
I know. Your dad owns the place.
No, I'm talking about in the huge, rotating world of life.
And who am I, Nellie?
Nobody. That's the point. You're not there. You don't even exist. Because if you did, I might have to respond to your pathetic little under-the-breath one-liners. But instead, I take comfort knowing you're vapor.
This is such classic Kevin Williamson writing because it's like, the point of this exchange is Pacey thinks she's dumb, and then she just talks exactly like Pacey and Dawson and every other character on this show.
Mm-hmm. And also that they're like constantly making references to how smart they are and how they overthink things. But then they'll just be overusing or like misusing words or bungling the grammar. And it's just like, oh, God, like immediately. I don't think it even took this long. I think it was the sexual theoretics line that I was like, oh, fuck. Like, this is really going to bug the shit out of me. Little did I know I would make like a career out of being bugged by it. But just classic Kevin Williamson. Everybody talks the same.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the style at the time. The same thing happened on The West Wing and Gilmore Girls. It's like, this is just what people were, and you know, people still do it on various shows today as well. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's when a tall blonde woman comes in, and look, everyone should wear what they wish. But in my personal opinion, the hemline on this thing is at least 15 years too young for her. You'll see it in the visual aids.
It's not even it's not the age. It's that, like, you're going to rent a video in a resort town.
Yeah.
Where you are a teacher. Like, I don't know, shorts? Yeah. What are we doing here? This is just way too much weapon for this fight. That's all I'm saying. She looks great. Just what?
Yes. Pacey and Dawson are instantly horny as she slow-mo walks toward them, although at least Dawson recognizes that she could be someone's mother. Pacey, true feminist, says mothers have great sex lives, and the newcomer signs up for a membership and says her name is Tamara. Pacey offers to help her pick something out. Clip three.
I'm in the mood for romance.
We keep the new releases against...
Oh, no. I'm vintage all the way.
The classics are in the...
Where would I find The Graduate?
The Graduate is the one...
Where the older woman, Anne Bancroft, seduces the younger man, Dustin Hoffman?
Checking.
Is there anything else we can help you with?
Oh, no. That should do it. How much?
Pay when you return.
Oh, wow. This is a small town. I mean, I know they have a credit card, but still.
Right? I also love how Dawson is just like, you gotta go, because Pacey's boner is digging into my leg, and I can't with this. Yikes.
Oh, The Graduate. Ma'am, I mean, get a grip of yourself. Please, literally. After she's gone, Pacey and Dawson argue over whether she was flirting with Pacey or mocking him. And Pacey's probably not going to find out the next day as he's balancing a textbook on his head in English class on the first day of school. when Tamara enters, because, oh my God, you guys, she is a teacher. And in shock, Pacey says her first name and she casually asks him to call her Miss Jacobs at school. And then at lunch, Pacey finds Tamara at her desk, apparently grading a paper, which, like, it's the first day. Like, no one has turned anything in yet. Just whatever. Yeah, what? He asks how the graduate was, just as she remembered. Is she looking for romance tonight? Because summer of 42, guys, guess what that one's about. Pacey could reserve it for her, but she's going out to the new movie at the Rialto tonight, and maybe he'll check it out. And in the hall, Pacey catches Dawson up, clip 4.
I actually have the possibility of losing my virginity in a high-level fantasy fashion.
Pacey, go home. Walk your dog. It's not going to happen with the English teacher.
Not tonight. That's not the plan, man. I just want to familiarize her with the gaze, the smile, the charming features, you know.
Don't do this to yourself.
Listen, it is a fact that a large percentage of older women are attracted to young boys on the verge of manhood, okay? Keeps them feeling young. I read that in Cosmopolitan.
What are you doing reading Cosmopolitan?
Listen, I have 3 menstrually diverse sisters, okay? Cosmo is my savior.
What does menstrually diverse mean?
I was just going to ask that. I just don't know.
One has a light flow. One's a little heavier. Like, what?
Yeah.
So who calls it Cosmopolitan, the whole name? But, you know, this.
Yeah, no one.
Pacey using it as a reference. This is what we're losing with the death of print.
Yeah.
Also, to back up, when Dawson's like, go home, walk your dog. Pacey doesn't have a dog. This was the show's euphemism for jerk it, because they were not allowed to say it on TV, as we all may remember from the Seinfeld, the contest, master of your domain, queen of the castle, etc. But walk your dog, I don't know, maybe it's because I have dogs now. I'm like, I don't like that. I mean, it was corny at the time, but now it has a different meaning to me. I don't care for it.
This segment of the show's Argo only gets worse.
Yeah.
They think they're being so clever and they're kind of out-clevering themselves with some of these references already. Like, you could take it easy, guys. It's the first episode.
Mm-hmm. Dawson asks why Pacey needs him at the movie at all. Pacey tells him to invite the girl he likes and we will get to her in the A-plot. Later at the movie, Tamara resists Pacey's flirtation because she is there with Mr. Gold, another teacher we will also get to in the A-plot. Pacey does not leave. Tensions rise. Popcorn gets dumped all over a guy sitting behind Tamara, and Pacey gets punched by the popcorn-covered stranger. Oops. Mm-hmm. Walking home later, Pacey runs into Tamara alone. When she asks how his face is and he tries to keep going, she arm grabs him. That's how old she is, you guys.
And wow.
Asks to clear up their misunderstanding. Clip 5.
How can you say you were just renting a movie?
Because it's the truth.
It's a crock. The truth is, you're a well-put-together knockout of a woman who's feeling a little insecure about hitting 40. So when a young virile boy such as myself flirts with you, you enjoy it. You entice it. You fantasize about what it would be like to be with that young boy on the verge of manhood. Because it helps you stay feeling attractive. Makes the aging process a little more bearable. Well, let me tell you something. You blew it, lady. Because I'm the best sex you'll never have.
Oh, Jesus. Dave's face.
You're wrong about one thing, Pacey. You're not a boy.
Oh.
Ew. I think at the time we responded to this as just like annoying. Like, mm-hmm. It was overwritten. It was stupid. She was wearing too much and not enough dress at the video store.
Yeah.
She is immediately a predator. And I really don't think the culture clocked it that way at all at the time. So let me just correct our record.
Mm-hmm.
Ew. Also,
yeah.
A felony.
Yeah. The term groomer gets thrown around a lot, usually incorrectly, but this is grooming. Like, this is textbook, truly.
Yep. Yep.
The other problem, though, is that, like, he is right when he says you're being disingenuous when you act like you don't know what you were doing. Because, as we're saying, she obviously does. Mm-hmm. But then he ruins it by going one line too far with the "I'm the best sex you'll never have." Dude, come on. Yeah, come on.
No. Did you read that in Cosmo while you were walking your dog? Because that's what he uses Cosmo for. It's not the quizzes.
His covers are sexy, especially then.
I mean, look, as a menstrually diverse person with a younger brother, mm-hmm. you know, Mademoiselle would sometimes go missing from my room, too. I did not want the back, and nope. we all know why.
So Tamara kisses him, as we heard, but then she realizes what she's done and runs away, possibly also realizing, oh, shit, I did this in public where anyone could mm-hmm. walk by and see us. Yeah. But Pacey's just like, I'll see you at school. And that's where we leave things with them for now. On to the A-plot. Jen's arrival in Capeside shakes everyone up. We pan from an establishing shot of the Leary house into Dawson's bedroom, where he and Joey are chastely lying on his bed watching the end of E.T. and immediately being tiresome about it. Clip six.
I love this movie. This won the Oscar, didn't it?
Gandhi. Spielberg was robbed. This is before he outgrew his Peter Pan syndrome.
But Gandhi? I mean, why give an Oscar to a movie you can't even sit through?
Thank you.
5 o'clock this morning. All of the airline's scheduled flights were canceled, leaving...
You do?
Yeah, she likes big hair.
Must weigh a lot. How did she walk upright?
Where are you going?
Oh.
Spend the night.
Can't.
Come on, you always spend the night.
Not tonight.
Why not?
I just don't think it's a good idea for me to sleep over anymore, you know?
No, I don't know. Come on, you've been sleeping over since you were 7. It's Saturday night.
Things change, Dawson. Evolve.
What are you talking about?
Sleeping in the same bed was fine when we were kids, but we're 15 now.
Yeah?
We start high school Monday?
Yeah.
And I have breasts.
What?
And you have genitalia.
I've always had genitalia.
But there's more of it.
How do you know?
Long fingers.
No, no. This is making me sex negative. Cut all your genitalias off. All of them. There's more of them. They're growing. They're coming. They're all over your face and arms.
Oh, God.
The call is coming from inside your vagina.
I mean, so many things just in that opening scene that are like, that make no sense. Like, outgrew his Peter Pan syndrome is not how that expression works. No. You have genitalia. Like, way to not make it weird.
Yeah.
Josephine.
God. So anyway, Dawson's like, what is this actually about? Forcing Joey to say, no, her hormones have not made her develop a fang for Dawson. But if they don't adjust, the male-female thing will get in the way. He insists that she stay to prove they can remain friends despite their changing bodies. Joey doesn't think it works that way, and he orders her not to get female on him, which, yuck. But when he goads her by calling her Josephine, she dives onto him in some marginally less chaste play wrestling ensues, and when she taps out, clip seven.
We're friends, okay? No matter how much body hair we acquire, deal?
Deal.
All right, and we don't ever talk about this again, deal?
You got it.
Cool.
Cool.
And now that you know how it's done.
Don't do it. Yeah. Also, like saying, no matter how much body hair you acquire, it's like, put down the thesaurus. Like, just, it grows. You don't acquire it like a hostile takeover. What is that word choice?
I mean, it's hostile towards us.
That's true.
Oh, God. And then they just get under the covers with their clothes on, which germs? I don't know. And then he is in the exact center of this not even queen size mattress, just like spread out like the Sun King. And she's on this outer like 4 inches. Like maybe she wants to go home because you're a mattress hog. You'll see it in the visual aids. Trust.
Yeah. When our dog Murray likes to go on the outside of one of us, we call that the sliver. And that is what Joey has for sure on this bed. Mm-hmm. And when she rolls over, we can tell from her face all of this is not, in fact, cool. Clip eight.
Why'd you have to bring this up anyway?
I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. I want to know right now. What will it be?
Thank God the DVDs have the real theme song. is all I had to say, but I'm glad. I love that they just slam right into it without the intro.
I mean, totally. Like, very close.
Yep. So after the credits, little sailboats are going by as Joey sunbathes on a dock and Jaws knockoff music plays right after we see our friend Charles Rosen, as heard on 90210 OMG, is an EP here as well. A sea monster pops out of the water and yanks Joey in, and Dawson yells cut, and not to be Dawson about it, but based on the shots we see, this is a two-camera shoot. Only one camera is visible, but Sarah did note it's a pretty good improvisation of how to, like, create a camera stand with what he's got at hand. You'll see in the visual.
Yeah, lines. And, like, there's, like, sort of a little short dolly track available, and he, I mean, I don't know these terms, but he's done pretty well for himself. Then again, you know, he has like a studio in his home. So this is the least that we should expect from this blowhard.
Indeed. Pacey, as the sea monster, is off in his timing, and Dawson is a bitch about it. And so is Joey, shoving Pacey away as she gets out, claiming he grabbed her ass. And then everyone's attention is drawn to a yellow cab and Jen getting out in slow motion. Clip 9.
Well, my mouth drops.
Your jaw drops. Your jaw drops. This bugs the shit out of me when overwriting is like, my mouth drops. Like, no. Mm-mm. It's like people bawling their eyes out, B-A-L-L. That's, no, I really hope you're not doing that. I'd also like to say, justice for Michelle Williams and the way she was directed and shot, because you have Hey Pretty Girl over this shot of her walking like an absolute panzer, and her dress is bunching in her crotch. Like, give the girl another take. She's going to play Marilyn Monroe in the future. This is so, we were extremely mean to her, or at least
we were.
Us,
yeah,
about
we were.
This. It is not her fault.
No.
It is not okay.
No.
She deserved better than this and still does.
Yes, from us as well. You're right. And
yes,
thank you for saying it. We were mean to her. But you're right, she does not move with the most grace here, and I would be curious from like a craft perspective, because as you said, she plays Marilyn Monroe, she also plays Gwen Verdon later in life too, where it's like, it's important to know, like, how to live in your body, and here, it, you know, maybe it's just that she's young, but she hasn't mastered it yet. She also seems to have, like, short torso, which makes her arms look longer, and that makes her look awkward sometimes too, I think, but...
Yep, true.
She's also in a shirt dress that's, like, unbuttoned at the hem. And you'll see this in the visual aids as well. It's it rides up so high. So high.
Yeah. And then just, like, gets stuck, and it's a slow-mo shot. Like, everything about it, just, she wasn't given a chance.
Mm-mm. Dawson is marginally more subtly horny, but also horny. Joey just scowls, which we're going to... see that a lot.
Get
you're going
to
hear us say it a lot. When Dawson introduces himself, Jen reminds him that they've met, and he remembers she's the granddaughter from New York. Joey's face, which you'll see in the visual aids, could not be more legible, just pure hostility. Jen exposits that her grandfather's having heart problems, so her parents sent her to help. And yes, she will be going to Capeside High School with all of them, so she'll see them soon. And later, Dawson and Paisley return to the Leary house to the sound of crashing ceramics, but everything is fine. It's just Dawson's parents, Mitch and Gail, heedlessly going at it in the living room to Dawson's disgust. And I guess this is when we learned that Gail was the newscaster with the big hair from the opening scene. Gail pulls herself together and then leaves her work, calling Mitch Mr. Man Meat on her way out. Like, they're children, you know?
Yeah.
Keeping your pants.
Mm-hmm.
Elsewhere, Joey rows her boat home and is immediately accosted by her Bodie, who is her sister's boyfriend, and a recipe he is being tested on. Joey calls it orgasmic, which is not appropriate for a 15-year-old to say to her older sister's boyfriend, in my opinion. And said older sister, Bessie, then comes out quite pregnant. Clip 10.
If you want to wear my things, fine. They're fairly useless to me at this point, but that means you put them back where you found them. Got it.
Do you want to put back that accent?
Thank you.
Wrong state, beesh. I love this character, but God.
Yeah, and we can't complain about it every time it comes up, but this is the first episode. So the show is set on Cape Cod. It filmed in North Carolina. Sometimes they hired local actors. That was the case with Nina Rapita, who plays Bessie. Sometimes it shows, as we heard. Mm-hmm. And as Joey sasses into the house, Bodhi stops Bessie from complaining more by having her taste his food. And she also deems it orgasmic, which is why I wish the end of the scene wasn't her wiping the corner of her mouth with one finger. Sorry, but you'll see that in the visual aids, too.
Yeah.
Ma'am.
This is also, don't get used to this actor as Bodhi, because they recast it promptly. And not for the last time, I think.
Well, don't they at some point just, like, send him away? They give him a job on a cruise ship or something?
Yeah, they do. But there is a different Bodhi.
Oh.
Who's like the sort of, I don't know, canonical, foxy Bodhi, who is not this guy. Who is like, fine, it's just not him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then Pacey and Dawson are working at the local video store, as we already discussed. Unclear whether Dawson considers himself Mr. Man Meat Jr., though Pacey does ask. And later, Dawson and his loaf hair, which you will see in the visual aids a lot, jog home with four movies to see Jen watching the sunset from his dock, and chit-chat ensues, clip 11.
How's your granddad?
He's breathing. Good sign. Just my grandma that presents a challenge. She's got this praying mentality, which is really awkward since I don't do the whole God thing. What you got here? Let's see. Creature from the Black Lagoon, humanoids from the deep swamp thing?
It's research. Making a movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Kind of young to be so ambitious.
15. Spielberg started an 8mm when he was 13.
And why movies? What's the attraction there?
I reject reality.
Oh.
Would you like to see my studio?
No.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Also, what's the attraction of movies? Asks a scripted comment from a filmmaker.
Oh my God.
My patience is already tested to the utmost.
It's so silly.
It really is.
So inside, Jen immediately notes that all the posters in said studio are for Spielberg movies, and Dawson confirms he worships Spielberg in a godlike way for artistic reasons? Well, clip 12.
I have his career chronicled up on my walls. You'll notice everything is arranged in receding box office order, starting with the blockbusters, Jurassic Park, E.T., Jaws, Indiana Jones series, and if you follow it to my critically acclaimed wall, I have Schindler's List, in the color purple. Also for humility purposes.
Closet.
I also keep his others. 1941 and always. In limited but accessible view.
Are you familiar with obsessive reality disorder?
It's beyond that. See, I believe that all the mysteries of the universe, all the answers to life's questions can be found in a Spielberg film. It's a theory I've been working on. You see, whenever I have a problem, all I have to do is look to the right Spielberg movie and the answer's revealed.
You considered a 12-step program?
Wit. We like that around here.
Where?
Yeah.
<I
know>.
Prove it. Like, what is the joke? Like, you know, where is, what's the, anyway, God.
Yeah. And she in particular is written as though she's like this extremely wry, arch, like Dorothy Parker wit. And it's like, oh my God, poor Michelle Williams, truly.
Cut to the yard as we watch Joey climbing a ladder to Dawson's bedroom window and then pausing as she hears Dawson inside trying to impress Jen with talk of the film festival that he wants to enter. And that's when Grams next door yells for Jen. Joey hides until Jen leaves, and then Joey climbs in with a fucking puss on her face instead of just going home. Dawson shows Joey a totally innocuous clip of Gail doing the news and asks if Joey thinks that Gail is sleeping with her co-anchor, Bob. Joey says Mitch is the perfect male specimen, so why would Gail cheat on him? Dawson should accept his perfect life and not look for conflict, but he is not so sure.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right
now. The next morning, Jen stops in to see Gramps. He is asleep, and as she gently touches his surgery scar, Grams enters and suspiciously asks what she's doing and then tells her to come eat. But Jen is, of course, too much of a New York City nonconformist to eat breakfast. She does want to know about Dawson, though. Clip 13.
You stay away. That boy is trouble.
Aren't they all? Well, what about the girl who lives down the creek? Joey, I think her name is.
That girl from down the creek has been crawling in the bedroom window of that boy from next door for the past 10 years. Neither goes to church. I believe they're what you call the wrong element.
Grams. Love.
I mean, she's right, but I feel like she would just say they're the wrong element. Like, she wouldn't need to dress it up. She would be very firm. Grams folds her hands, and Jen's like, right. And Grams is like, we say grace here. And Jen says, Grams can say it without her. And Grams insists, and Jen insists back. And when Grams asks if there is a reason that Jen doesn't want to thank the Lord this morning, Jen reluctantly says she's an atheist and then stares at Grams defiantly like a real fucking teenager. But the scene cuts before she gets whatever reaction she was hoping for.
Oh, God. I remember being so exhausted by this whole section of the Jen-Grams dynamic. Mm-hmm. Like, both of you just go along to get along. It's like 7:30 in the morning.
Seriously. No thank you to eggs. Like, have two bites. Just toast is not going to hurt you. Then we're on an establishing shot at Caveside High School that lets us know their school mascot is the Wildcat, just like at West Beverly High. And if we may remind you, 90210 was still airing new episodes when this show premiered on January 20th, 1998. The following night was the beginning of the end of Hillary Swank's arc because 90210 still had 2.5 seasons to go when Dawson's Creek started, which seems insane to me they crossed over for that long.
Completely different universes.
Yes.
That is bonkers to me. Mm-hmm. Like, intellectually, I know it's true, but I just...
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. Inside, the first person to approach Jen is Nellie, who claims she has that name because her parents were huge Little House on the Prairie fans, which, like, enough to change their last name. Okay. It's convenient.
Yeah. Also, your dad was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, she knows all about Jen. Clip 14.
How's your grandfather? He has us all worried. He's still on the prayer list at church. You party?
Excuse me?
Party.
Yeah, party isn't do I like to have a good time or party isn't drinking these drugs.
It's subjective.
I like to have a good time. Substance free.
Maybe we should call you Nellie.
Both of us rolled our eyes. Substance free. Ooh.
I know.
God.
Okay, straight edge.
And then when Nellie walks away, we can see she's in, like, sparkly tights. You can see this in the visual aids. It's like, it's September in Cape Cod. And she's in otherwise, like, the shortest halter dress there ever was. As Jen absorbs Nellie's insult, Dawson appears. Clip 15.
I could really use a cigarette.
You smoke?
So... Credit to Vanderbeek for one of a handful of times, but because even though surely the entire cast, including himself, smoked, he makes Dawson sound truly wounded by the thought that Jen smokes.
My God, just like the blandly smug delivery. I mean, we hated it at the time. It was like our chief complaint, but he just goes for it with the Dawson center of his own universe line delivery every time.
Yep.
And I kind of respect it, even though he's super punchable.
Yep. Anyway, Jen quit. She's just tense. Dawson can show her where her bio class is. He's not in it, but Joey is. Jen was hoping they would have a class together, and Joey is a bitch about it, as you will see in the visual. I see it a lot. Elsewhere, the 90210 references continue. Dawson walks into a classroom, which also has on the wall an I Know What You Did Last Summer poster. Walks in as The End of Psycho is playing, and the teacher, Mr. Gold, is played by Mitchell Lawrence, twin brother of Matthew, who played Mel Silver. Hardy har har har. Oh, Kevin. Anyway, when Dawson identifies Psycho, clip 16.
Psycho.
You know the film?
Anthony Perkins, Janet Leigh, Universal, 1960. Little known fact. Did you know that Hitchcock surprised Janet Leigh with freezing cold water in order to get her to scream so effectively?
Who are you?
Dawson Leary.
Then I take it you'll be in my fifth period film lab.
Actually, that's why I'm here. There seems to have been some confusion with my schedule. I was denied admittance to your film class.
Doesn't Mr. Gold know who he is?
I know. It's so fabulous. And Mr. Gold's like, yeah, you see, really, like you've never kissed a girl before. You're still not joining this fucking class.
No.
Beat it. And it's like, oh, it's mm-hmm. so satisfying.
It truly is. Also, don't be like little known fact about fucking Psycho to the film teacher you are trying to impress and get in his class. Like, make him like you. Don't make him think that you think you know more yeah. than him.
Also, maybe you don't need the class then, since you think the teacher knows less than you.
Yeah.
Butthead.
Anyway. As Sarah said, Dawson's like, let me in. And Mr. Gold's like, nope. And Dawson's like, but. And he's like, goodbye. After bio, Jen asks Joey if she and Dawson are a thing. Joey scoffs that they are just friends. Jen hopes that she and Joey will be friends too, even though Grams warned Jen that Joey is severely troubled. And Joey shoots back that Grams is cracked. Time for exposition. Clip 17.
Why'd she rag on you? Pick a topic. There's my dad, the imprisoned convict, or my sister impregnated by her black boyfriend.
Your father's in prison?
Conspiracy to traffic marijuana in excess of 10,000 pounds.
Wow, so then where's your mother?
Oh, she had this cancer thing that got her.
So then you live with your sister?
And the black boyfriend. He likes you, you know.
Who, the black boyfriend?
Dawson. Don't abuse his feelings.
All right, that was pretty good. But, like, this cancer thing, it got her.
She's a tomboy, Sarah. She doesn't have time for feelings. She has to not wear skirts, okay?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, refer to cancer as, like, the Wendigo. That's really weird. She was standing on the edge of town. The cancer got her. At a crossroads at midnight. There was a violin battle. It was a whole thing. You ever hear that song? Jesus.
Then we're in the calf as Dawson and Jen make up comedic backstories for various teachers, and Joey glares bitchily. When Dawson says he should bring Jen in to punch up the dialogue in his script, Joey reminds him that they're supposed to be working. Dawson asks for Jen's help on Act 3 because he's having a climax issue, and for once, Joey's eye roll is very warranted.
Mm-hmm.
But later, as Pacey's trying to get Dawson to agree to stalk Tamara at the movies with him, Dawson sees Jen flirting with a jock and his poor little face doth fall because it seems like someone else asked Jen out before Dawson could. So Dawson heads straight for her to try to undermine Roger Fulford, the jock. Clip 18.
Jock quarterback by day, schizophrenic transvestite by night.
Oh,
that's what
really?
You call a Tory spelling complex. He's partial to Victoria's Secret. Just so you know.
Nope. All nope to all of that.
No. But he does then ask her on a group date to the movies, and she accepts. And after school, Dawson finds Joey on the street and asks her to be the fourth on his semi-quasi-date with Jen and Pacey. And Joey is a bitch about it, but agrees. And that night, Grams asks where Jen is going. Jen gently jokes about going on a crime spree with Dawson, then promises she's harmless and will be home by 10. Grams is fine with Jen having fun as long as she comes to church on Sunday. And instead of just being nice to an old lady about something that does not matter to her, at all, Jen tells Grams to give up on that idea. Grams calmly insists. They go on. Clip 19.
I'm firm about my beliefs. Please respect them.
Look, I know what happened in New York. Church will do you good.
Let me determine that. Church isn't the answer, not for me. But I promise you I will keep an open mind and honor and respect your beliefs for as long as I'm here.
The decision has been made. You will do as I say. You are under my guard.
You know, I'm trying really hard to keep my rebellious nature in check. I'll tell you what, Grams. I'll go to church when you say the word penis.
No.
You stop that talk.
God.
It's just a word, Grams. Clinical and technical. Penis. Grams, I really love you, but you're going to have to lighten up.
Fuck you. You're a minor child. Wow, I still... The hate is like so close to the surface still for this writing. I hate it. Oh, hashtag free Grams.
Yes, but it would have been such a slay if she had said that and Grams had just been like, penis, see you on Sunday. that's the move.
Yeah, it fully is.
Over to the Leary house where Mitch is working on the elaborate model of a theme restaurant he wants to open, I guess. He thinks the waitresses would be in scuba gear. Dawson comments that this aquatic-themed restaurant gets worse on a daily basis, and if this is a sideswipe at his idol Spielberg's aquatic-themed restaurant Dive, which was still open at the time this episode airs, it's a subtle one, but RIP Dive, we miss you. Such good fries.
Little-known fact, that was a good one. Thank you.
Then Mitch turns the TV on to Gail's news show, and clip 20.
Watching her work is the... best foreplay.
I'm out of here.
Have fun. Play safe.
Condom chat is premature.
It's never too early.
What is up with the sex? It's all anybody thinks about anymore. Sex, sex, sex. What is the big deal?
Sex is a very big part of who we are as human beings.
Does that mean we have to go hump the coffee table? Come on, if sex is so important, then how come Spielberg has never had a sex scene in one of his movies? He keeps it in its proper place in film, as should we in life.
Shut up, dude.
Well, but also shut up, Mitch. Don't talk about foreplay with your child's mother to your child or use play in that, like, swingery way to your kid. Ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
Okay.
While we've been talking, I realize Michelle Williams, in addition to playing Gwen Verdon and Marilyn Monroe, real people, she also played a lightly fictionalized version of Steven Spielberg's mom.
Oh, yeah.
Around the time he was making his first movie at 13 or whatever.
Oh, boy. Well.
Oh, boy. Over the Potter house, where Bessie arm grabs Joey on her way out to forcibly put burgundy lipstick on her, which was the style at the time.
It sure was.
Joey manages not to be a bitch about it. And on the group date, Jen compliments Joey's lipstick and Joey fake compliments Jen's hair dye. Dawson apologizes for Joey, so Joey barrels on. Clip 21.
So, Jen, you a virgin?
That's mature.
Well, because Dawson is a virgin, and two virgins really makes for a clumsy first encounter, don't you think?
You were going to die.
I just thought I'd help, you know. Cut to the chase. No, it's okay, Dawson. Yes, I am a virgin, and how about you, Joey? Are you a virgin? Please. Years ago, a trucker named Bubba.
What is up with you?
What is up with you? Yeah, stop trying so hard.
Yeah. Also, what is up with the writers thinking that, well, okay. No.
Also, if you don't want to do things, here's a thought. Don't do them. No one made you come on this group date. You could have stayed home and watched the television.
Yeah, it's true. I will say that throughout this, like, the acting by Katie Holmes is really quite good, like, subtler than the writing deserves. Like, Joey's being a bitch, but you can tell based on various melting wax faces, which is what I always called it before. It's like she can't control it. Like, she knows she's being a capital C and she cannot stop.
Yeah.
Like, this performance, the character sometimes was ultra kickable in the shins, but she always did a really good job of just being a teenager and not being able to really control the brattiness. So good for her.
Yeah. I agree. The problem is watching it from this perspective, it's just like, you know, the 700th time he's like, why are you acting like this? Do you like me? And her being like, no, because she's like waiting for him to just figure it out spontaneously on his own. That's how teenagers are. Like, it's annoying to watch, but it's also realistic in the way that teenagers are annoying.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
The movie they're all seeing is The Tender Romance Waiting for Guffman, by the way. So inside, Joey has to watch Dawson awkwardly deciding what to do with his hand. And as soon as he has taken Jen's, Joey loudly asks if Jen is a size queen. As a virgin, Jen hasn't given it much thought. Joey pretends to answer for herself before Dawson yanks her out to the lobby, threatening to kill her as Joey calls back to Jen about Dawson's long fingers. Barf.
Oh.
And in the lobby, Joey yells at Dawson for having ignored her ever since Jen showed up. He is so far removed from reality, he can't even see what's in front of him. He needs to stop living in the movies and grow up. Later, Dawson walks Jen almost to her door since Grams is lying in wait. He is about to kiss Jen when she stops him and apologizes for everything that went wrong. He doesn't let her, so she gives him a bunch of compliments he has not earned while he smiles sheepishly. Things were bad for her in New York, so she's grateful he asked her out. And when the porch light goes on, she heads inside and says she's going to pretend they kissed, which I thought was cute.
Yeah, it was kind of cute.
So then Dawson in his huge outfit, he's in like an off-white shirt and off-white like chinos, so he looks like a cult member, like flapping around his room.
Oh, the hateful remnant.
Yeah. You'll see this in visual aids too. He gets home and finds Joey waiting in his closet. She doesn't know what's going on with them. He knows he is insufficiently grateful for his perfect life, and so he's sorry about being so insensitive. He doesn't want to lose what they have. When he saw her in lipstick, he thought she looked pretty, and she is pathetically touched until he says his feelings don't go any further. And there's a side-by-side in the visual aids of, like, before and after Dawson telling Joey, I don't love you.
Oh, stricken. Mm. Absolutely stricken.
Yup. When Joey saw Dawson going for Jen's hand, Joey didn't want to be the one getting her hand held, she claims. She just didn't want Jen to have her hand held either. And on her way out, she says she can't sleep over anymore and they can't talk like they used to. Dawson refuses to accept that, so she asks how often he walks his dog. And Dawson is dumbstruck, and as Joey's face crumples or max wax melts, he says goodnight. But as I'll Stand By You plays and Joey runs out crying to her little rowboat, Dawson leans his head out the window. Clip 22.
Joey! Usually in the morning, Katie Couric.
I'll stand by you.
Just watching Dave frown at Katie Couric.
I agree. Yeah, that's a very, that's an avant-garde selection, but. Well,
I mean,
yeah, kind of in line with his basic tastes, I guess.
This was before online video. It was before, like, streaming. You had to just use whatever was available. And if you're doing it in the morning and it's 7:30, it's Katie. Sorry.
Yeah. Justice for Ann Curry. I'm sorry. That was a terrible thing to say.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah. And so Joey laughs at this, and you can see in the visual aids because I made a GIF. When she really fully smiles, and I think this is why she might be like such a sourpuss all the time, she looks like a baby because she has teeny tiny teeth, and it makes her look even younger than she actually is at this point. Also, this yelling from the house to the creek, this is why Grams hates you, okay, both of you. Like, quiet down. It's nighttime. There's a man recovering from surgery.
Yeah.
Joey has barely cleared the dock when she sees Bob dropping Gail off and the two of them sharing a non-colleaguesy kiss. And that's the end of the episode. Oh my God. We went back there and now we have to stay here for six seasons.
It's going to be fine.
It is.
It's not going to be great, but it's going to be fine.
Listener, this is what you wanted. So we hope you liked it. So let's close it up by naming our episode MVP.
Mitchell Lawrence. I mean, I got to give it to Mr. Gold that he's like, bye.
I'm sure I will give it to Grams many times in the days and months and years ahead. But for now, I'm going to give it to the casting director on the show because they nailed it times four.
Mm-hmm.
least valuable player. Mitch, stop being gross.
Tamara, date your own age. Damn.
I forgot about her already. That was the B plot. That was like 20 years ago.
I know. It really was. Next time on Again With This, it's back to the apartment complex as Michael's scheme boomerangs on him, Lexi and Ryan tequila business, and the toxic telephone game that is Kyle's medical history continues poisoning everyone's relationships. Speaking of toxins, enjoy all the 90s fashion in our visual aids. Those and every other episodes are at againwiththispodcast.com. The podcast is on Blue Sky at Again With This. We are on Instagram at Again With This Podcast, and you can call us now, we swear, 210-920-4699. And you should. We would love to hear from you. There's a whole other show universe to complain about. We want to hear your thoughts. I'm Wrong Element, Sarah D. Bunting. I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Utterly Unmoved Film Teacher, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is firm about his beliefs. Talk to you next time.
Ooh. What?
Hello, I'm actor Troy McClure. You kids might remember me from such educational films as Lead Paint, Delicious but Deadly, and Here Comes the Metric System. I'm here to provide the facts about sex in a frank and straightforward manner. And now here's Fuzzy Bunny's Guide to You Know What. This is Fuzzy Bunny. About a year ago, he noticed his voice was changing. He had terrible acne and had fur where there was no fur before. He also noticed Fluffy Bunny. Fluffy and Fuzzy went to the park, the ice cream social, the boat show, and various other wholesome activities. And they never ruined their fun by giving in to their throbbing biological urges. Then came the big day. Fluffy and Fuzzy got married. That night came the honeymoon. The most satisfying part of the night was knowing that they waited. 9 months later, Fluffy gave birth to 14 beautiful bunnies. 8 survive. And now that you know how it's done, don't do it.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.